Now, social media. You are online. You get overwhelmed scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. You see an ad. You usually wouldn't click on the ad, but you do. And you buy the thing, and then the next day, you think, why did I do that? Well, our next guest has some research that might have an answer for you. And you could join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a personal experience along those lines to share. That's 800-642-1234. Matthew Pittman is an assistant professor of advertising and public relations at the University of Tennessee. He's co-author of new research on why social media can make us more prone to impulse purchases. Matthew, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start with a concept before we get to your research and social media. This idea of cognitive overload. What is that?
So human beings, even though we use computers, our brains are not computers. We have a finite or limited processing capability. And certain things like social media, because there's so many different forms of media, there's text and video, and there's a post from our high school friend, and there's something from our spouse, and there's a post from The Rock about a workout routine. All these things use up little bits of processing power, leaving us depleted the more we use it.
I have a for example. When I first started hosting an afternoon talk show, it was a little stressful. I was cramming a lot of information into my brain. And I remember a couple of times going to a restaurant after the show, meeting my family, picking up a menu, and just not having the processing power, just handed it. My wife knows what I like. She ordered for me. Is that cognitive overload?
Yeah, that sounds like emotional overload too, and I wish you the best. But certainly
well,
that would be some kind of cognitive overload too, especially if you went right from work to do any other task. We're not very good at task switching or multitasking. So yeah, that would certainly qualify.
Okay, now let's go to your research. You're looking at social media. Tell us a little bit about the experiments you set up and what you're hoping to find out.
So we used food as an item for all three studies because presumably everybody has to eat and we're all at least a little bit interested. Study one, we used like one of those meal subscription kit, Green Chef type things. Study two, we used ice cream. And study three, we used coffee. And we would, there was one condition that was a control condition where we didn't do anything. We just let people look at the ad and actually use their mental capabilities to decide, do I want this or not? And then another condition, we would have them memorize like a 9-digit number, which is how psychology studies have done this in the past. And then the third condition, which is what we wanted to prove, we had them use Instagram for 30 seconds. And having them use Instagram, their own Instagram, for only 30 seconds left them more mentally depleted than memorizing a number and way more than the control condition. And then once they were in that depleted state, they were more likely to be influenced by or susceptible to popularity metrics, like a high number of likes or a high number of comments.
Okay. So the alarming thing to me there is 30 seconds. Like I know even I'm not a huge social media guy, but 30 seconds, I could do that easy. That small an amount of time made a noticeable difference.
Yeah. That's a walk down the hall. That's a walk to check the mail. But it makes sense because in that 30 seconds, compare it to, you know, television or a movie or other media, 30 seconds on social media, you can see a post from like five brands, 10 different people, some of whom you know in real life, some you don't. So our brain is like a Rolodex. We're constantly shifting through how to evaluate. Do I know that person? Oh yeah, they're cool. Do I know this person? Ah, they're kind of weird. Do I know that person? Well, they're a liar, so I can't trust that post. And all the shifting depletes our resources.
Now, another angle here is you also played with the number of people or the number of fictional likes on the ads you were showing people. Did that, I guess, social media peer pressure have an effect on the decisions people made?
Yeah, so that's important to note. I don't think that using social media or cognitive overload can create a desire in us for a product out of nowhere, but kind of like alcohol can reduce our inhibitions. I think in the depleted state, if there's something we already had our eye on, like a nice glass tumbler from WPR, then maybe we are, and normally we'd say, well, I don't need that. I can't afford it. But if we're just a little depleted, then that voice on our shoulder goes away and we just kind of think, you know what? Other people liked it. And this one has 10,000 likes or 100,000 likes. Maybe it is good enough. All right, I'll go ahead and buy it.
Talking to Matthew Pittman, assistant professor of advertising and public relations at the University of Tennessee. We're talking about his research on social media and impulse purchases. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Now, I know probably everybody listening, you've never made that impulse buy on social media. or you wouldn't admit it. If you have, if you are willing to share a story of an impulse buy online, maybe in a cognitively depleted state that kind of overload too much information, I'd appreciate it if you'd be willing to share your story. If not, that's okay too. But you can impulsively call at 800-642-1234 to share your story. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Matthew Pittman, assistant professor of advertising and public relations at the University of Tennessee, looking at his research on social media and impulse purchases. Turns out just a little bit of time scrolling on a social media feed may make us a little more vulnerable to online advertising or that product that an influencer suggests we go out and buy. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. If you have a question for a guest about his research or an experience to share, 800-642-1234. Matthew, I want to talk about what we can do with your research. What is your advice for social media users out there to, I guess, buyer beware?
So one thing that I have done, because I first wanted to study this because I am a victim of this too, I purchased on TikTok, I saw a thing that was, you can get a Lego replica of you and your significant other. And I thought my wife would love two little Lego pieces of us with our names on it. And it came and she said, "What is this?" And I was like, "Oh no, what have I done?" But my kids love it, so it's not a total loss.
Okay.
But one thing I've started doing since researching and thinking about this is I put things in a shopping cart and then let it sit for a day or two. And then I come back and check. And with a clear head, I'll think, do I really want this or need this? And 90% of the time, the answer is no.
Interesting. A cool down period. I like that. Now, another use, and I know another of your research areas is ethics. I could see an advertiser look at your research and say, aha, yes, we're going to use this. But I'm guessing they probably already know this, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm sure the algorithm knows to target people like sports fans before the big game comes up, target them then when their minds are all frantic and frenzied, thinking about, yeah, you should buy this championship t-shirt. Yeah, I should definitely do it. We're going to win.
And do you have thoughts on how we can, recognize when we're feeling that cognitive overload, whether it's because of social media or we just started hosting a radio show or whatever the case might be?
Yeah, aside from therapy, which would be helpful for all of us, I think just checking sometimes I try to spend a couple, like whether it's walking down the hall or, again, checking the mail. Sometimes I just don't bring my phone, which seems kind of novel now, just to let my brain reset and be bored for a second. Sometimes it's before I fire up an app to use Instagram or TikTok, I'll just check make sure my goals align with my motivations. Ask myself, like, all right, what am I expecting to do? Okay, I'm going to do this for 2 minutes. Hopefully I'll see something funny. I'll see a cute animal and then I can log off. So kind of being more deliberate and intentional about our use before we start going. Because once we start going, we can scroll ourselves right down a very dangerous and strange rabbit hole.
I wanted to ask you about different platforms and maybe some future research. You focused on Instagram here. Are there other social media platforms you'd want to tackle in future research?
Yeah, I think the more media rich or the more involved, like presumably the more it would tax all of your brain power, because now you're evaluating text and an animated GIF and there's a talking head video and there's some TikTok videos that I follow, and it could basically give someone a seizure. It's like a Reddit thread story read as text over top of a weird video game in the background. So it's like for the super duper ADD, media like that, I think, is really taxing compared to like Twitter, which is a little more tame. Certainly emails, Reddit, the ones that are most primarily text-based. I think those don't use as many mental processing resources as the ones that are like every single media all at once.
Let's bring on a caller. Anastasia is with us in Stevens Point. Anastasia, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
So I actually work for a Gen Z and Millennial market research company, and we talk about this all the time. And granted, we're generally talking to brands about how they can reach Gen Z and Millennials, but the data overwhelmingly shows that when they're looking at ads and actually following through and purchasing, it's always on social media. It's the most, like, more so than any other traditional advertising source. And that's why brands have to be on social media if they want to reach those generations. But in terms of impulsive social media buys, you know, when these Gen Z and millennials, which we consider 13 to 39, when they're seeing hundreds of pieces of content, thousands of pieces of content every single day, you know, overall, it just kind of wears down your resistance to making that purchase. Mm-hmm. You see it over and over and over, you know, the way that advertisers used to try and attract people by, you know, catching them to and from their job on billboards that they might see. Now they're able to reach teens like every second of every day on social media. And so that distance from initially seeing the product to actually making the purchase is so much shorter.
Anastasia, I want to ask you, doing this kind of research for your day job, does it make you think about social media use differently?
Absolutely. You know, we also ask them how they feel about being on social media, and it's pretty mixed across the board, but they understand that it's an addictive platform, and they're making impulse decisions there because social media is naturally impulsive and encourages that impulse.
Anastasia, thank you so much. Interesting perspective. Matthew, what do you think about what we heard from her?
That was really cool, and it makes sense. If you think back in the day, you would see whatever, an infomercial on TV, you had to call, or even going to a website requires more effort, intentionality, more time. And now the time between you have an impulse and you get that, you know, your order has been placed notification could be I think it's like 2 or 3 clicks on some things. Like you click on the item, boom, you know, ship. If it already has your credit card info and your shipping address, just a few clicks. It's crazy to think how the time between impulse and purchase has been reduced to mere seconds.
Anastasia, thanks a lot for sharing that. And Matthew, it also makes me think, you know, you, when you were testing people, you had them, recite that 9-digit number or spend 30 seconds on Instagram and then look at the ad once. As Anastasia mentioned, we might see the same ad on social media, you know, 50 times over the course of 20 minutes or something like that if you keep scrolling down. Is that something else you'd want to study in the future, that the frequency and intensity of seeing the same ad message?
Yeah, that's a really good point. The more we've all seen, I'm sure, posts where you see the ad the 20th time, you're like, oh, this is very familiar. And our brains are wired to like things that are familiar. And I'm sure when we see it for the 20th, 30th, 40th time, we don't even know, is this an ad or is this somebody I follow? Do I know them? Do they like me? Do I like them? And all of that would be, yeah, certainly make us more likely to purchase. So that, yeah, the next logical study would be repeated exposure. And I'm sure it would be significant. So the question will be how many extra views does it take to move the needle?
Well, Matthew, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for sharing your research with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a really cool topic.
That's Matthew Pittman, Assistant Professor of Advertising and Public Relations at the University of Tennessee. He talked to us about his research on social media and why it can make us more likely to make impulse purchases.